So we have been in this carol theme. Our office administrator just loves this topic because her name is Carol. And so whenever I say we're talking about carols today, she's like, I know, you're talking about me. So this today, we are specifically talking about the carol Away in a Manger. Pastor Henry talked about, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, that the draw was everybody is welcome. God invites everybody to come. And then on the first of Sunday of Advent, we talked about O Holy Night and how the weary world rejoices. And the fact that as weary as the world is, the Savior came that we can rejoice and be glad. And so today, specifically, I got about this far into this song. Yeah, that's how far I got. Was as I was thinking about it and what was, you know, the real meaning behind this song. And I got thinking about, I literally woke up in the morning and I went, away. Well, what was he away from? Right? So often we just go through and we sing all these songs. And here I am thinking about this word away, which means at a distance from a particular place. And so what was that particular place that he was away from? Anyone? What? Heaven. He was away from heaven. So I'm going to put this up there. Don't worry, I practiced. He was away from his throne. And that's what this represents, is the throne. And we know that he was the King of heaven because of what the Bible says. The Bible says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus. It also says this: for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, and whether thrones or whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And the Bible also says in Revelation, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So that's who he was before he got here. This is where he sat. He was supreme. Next, Creator, Alpha, Omega, Almighty, Sustainer, God. This is where he was. So I just want you to get a grasp on that. So I'm going to move out of the picture. I want you to focus on the throne for a minute, just to get an idea of where he came from, what he was away from. So Almighty God, Creator of the world, all supreme, the beginning and the end, saw fit that he should come to a manger. And I don't know if you've ever really, really thought about what a manger is. A manger is a feeding trough for cows. Okay, snot. I've been watching a lot of Dr. Pohl lately, and he does a lot of work with cows. And there's a lot of stuff that comes out of a cow's mouth. Okay? They did not have a green bottle of disinfectant to, like, line the trough. Odds are, out with the old hay, and they got maybe, some fresh hay and put it here in a feeding trough for the king. King? Feeding trough. He came away from a throne to a feeding trough where cows and saliva and flies and all sorts of gross bacteria lives. I don't know of a mother who would willfully, even if it was disinfected, put her child here. But that's what he did. And the Bible says this. This is how God showed his love among us. I'll get to the next verse. It's just so overwhelming when you think about it, that this is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. The Bible goes on to say this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So you have, next, the fullness of God, which became flesh, dwelt among us for us to know him so we could really live because he loves us. I want you to grasp that. The fullness of God became flesh and dwelt among us for us to know him so that we could really live because he loves us. A manger is where he came to. It says, away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars were the first ones to declare who he was, right? The stars in the sky declared the glory of God because they knew that the creator of the world had given up being where he was to come here because he loves us. He loves me. He loves you. Beyond what I could ever imagine. He just continually reminds us again and again, like, I love you. I love you. Look at what I've done for you. I don't really like camping. I don't really like glamping either. And so in 2012, when Diane Thatcher said, I think we should take the youth camping, I was like, that's exactly how I felt. And she's like, no, it'll be good. It'll be fine. And I'm like, there's germs and ground and bugs. And how close is the bathroom? And she's like, no, it'll be fine. So the following year, we packed up all of the youth girls. It was a girls' weekend. And we went camping up to Severn Bridge in May before the May long weekend. And it was frigidly cold. And there was five of us in a tent. And I remember at that point, it was Tanya, Michelle, Megan, myself, and Carrie Webb. And I remember looking at Carrie Webb at 3 o'clock in the morning going, I'm freezing, and I have to go to the bathroom. She's like, me too. So we got up, and I think that's probably what made our friendship. And we said we could live together. And so we went to the bathroom. We came back, and we were so cold. And I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And it was the relationships that were built. That's often why we do things. That's why Jesus came from there to here, because of a relationship that he wanted to build with every single one of us. And as Pastor Henry said last week, every single one of us. There is no one here that God does not want to have a relationship with. Each one of us, no matter what we've done. God wants to have a relationship with us. Fullness of God became flesh to dwell. Imagine, like, dwell with us. He camped out with us. And it wasn't like 4-star camping that he did. He walked everywhere. He walked everywhere. He didn't, it says the Son of Man didn't even have a place to lie his head. It's not as if he carried around a pillow. It doesn't really say he, you know, kept food with him. In fact, he usually just saw what the crowd had and then blessed it and then fed everybody else first and then ate what was there. So it's not as if he was planned in all this. It happened because this represented relationship, a relationship that he could have with us. But it didn't end here. It didn't end here. It actually ended here at the cross. And the Bible says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus left heaven, was born in a manger, and then died on a cross because of this thing called sin that separates us from God. And sin is basically doing whatever you want. All right? God actually has this wonderful plan for every single one of us. We just need to be willing to pick it up. Jesus says this. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, anyone who wants to come If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So Jesus realized that this wasn't the end point. And ultimately, this isn't the end point either. Because he is actually calling us to live there at the throne with him. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will be with them and be their God. There will be no more death. There will be no mourning, no crying or pain. They will be his people. That is what he's calling us to. The throne room of God. But this is the means. And this is where he actually asks us to join him. He says this, though we are sinful, God's love through Christ offers us life if we believe and follow. So there's this choice that Christ offers every single one of us. Death or life? And he offers it to everyone. So often people think, well, as long as I believe in God, then I'm good. Well, the Bible says that these demons actually believe in God and they tremble. So there's this element of following. That if we want to have a relationship with God, it's not enough just to believe in God. Lots of people say, I believe in God. I've read quotes about celebrities who say, yeah, I believe in God, but I do my own thing. And growing up, my best friend, his name is Kevin, and he lived next door. And Kevin loved coming over and playing. Well, one day, he was not listening to my mother, as he should have, and my dad heard this. And so he came alongside behind Kevin, and he lifted him up by the little hairs on the back of your neck, just enough to let him know that he was there. And he said, look, when you're here, you listen to Mita, and from now on, your name is Sam. And from then on, Kevin totally obeyed my mom, like never had a problem, because he knew when he was in our house, he needed to listen to my mother or my father, whoever was there, right? And then what's even cooler is he goes home, and he's playing upstairs, and his mom is calling him, Kevin, Kevin, Kevin. And finally, she goes upstairs and she's like, did you not hear me calling you? And he's like, my name is Sam. And so he had had a complete identity change, which is what Christ calls us to. When we decide life in Christ, we have identity change. No longer do we hold on to the things of this world. No longer do we just pick and choose from the Bible what we're going to choose to believe. We say, dear Lord Jesus, I don't know how to do this, but I need your help. Because he said, I will give you my helper. I will give you the counselor, the Holy Spirit, who's going to be with you. Because I want to be with you. So if we were to summarize this, I would say it something like this. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to be taken advantage of, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant and being found in human likeness, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's why Jesus came. He doesn't want to leave us here, and he certainly doesn't want to leave us here. He wants us here with him forever. Like that whole verse from Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4, and it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, look, all these people. That's what God wants. He wants us all with him forever. There's this fullness of life that he offers, that if we put our faith in Christ Jesus, believe that he came as a babe in a manger and died on the cross for our sins, if we choose life over death, denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following him, he has promised us eternal life where there'll be no more death, no mourning, no crying, or pain. Period. And that's good news. This is the good news. This is what God is calling us to, is this fullness of life. But it started because he loves us. And it's this overwhelming love that I just can't get away from. He woos us. He knows exactly how to speak your language. Half the time we're just too busy to actually stop and listen to what it is that he has to say. And Christmas is a time for us to reflect on who Jesus was, why he came to earth, and to examine how we can let him rule in our lives on a daily basis. And that's ultimately what we need to be doing, is every day examining our lives. How do I experience you more to the full? Because there's always more that God wants to give us. There's always another chapter in the book. And it's always for everyone. It's always for everyone. He gave up equality with God, did not hold on to it, came to a manger that was covered in cow snot. I have to keep reminding myself of that because we sing about it in this wonderful lullaby that kids love and relate to, which is so good that they understand how much God loves them. But we glamorize the manger and we forget how gross it is. We forget how awful the cross is. And so when he says to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, the cross is heavy. The cross has splinters. It's not easy. You might have to give up something that you really like. You might actually have to give up something that you think is okay for you but really isn't all that great. You might have to change the way that you think about people. You might actually have to decide to forgive someone. Maybe that's your cross that you have to bear. Or maybe you need to make a choice of actually getting along with the person sitting beside you. Or maybe you need to make a choice of actually doing what the Bible says with your money. I don't know about you, but it's so easy sometimes just to pick up a Bible and like rip a page out of it. But this is what we do all the time. When we choose not to follow Christ. I don't like that page, so I rip it out. I don't like that page either, so I rip it out. This is what it means when we pick up our cross and we follow him, is even the tough parts, whether it has to do with our sexuality, whether it has to do with our money, whether it has to do with our kids, we have to choose to believe everything God says. It pains me to rip pages out of the Bible, especially this Bible. But we need to deny ourselves because Christ did. We have to deny ourselves because Christ did. And so we're going to sing this song called "The Love of God is Greater than Tongue or Men or Pen Can Tell." And I don't know about you, but maybe God is telling you right now where you have ripped a page out of your Bible. And now he's asking you to put it back in. And if that's you this morning, then I encourage you, don't wait. Come and use the prayer rails. God, I need to learn what it means to deny myself. I need to learn what it means to actually embrace the life that you want, even though I might not think it's good, but ultimately it is. The life that God has for us is better than we could ever imagine or hope for. And so we invite you to come forward. Maybe there's something else on your heart this morning and you're like, I need to talk to Jesus about this. Then we invite you to come forward. But I don't want you to miss out on the life that God has for you. So I'm going to pray and then Marty's going to sing. So dear Lord Jesus, we come before you. And Lord, would you show us where we have ripped pages out of your word because they're not easy, because we don't like them. And Lord God, would you remind us of what it is that you gave up so that we could have life? And then Lord, would you squeeze our hearts so that we would actually be willing to give up the things that we hold so tightly so that we can have the life that you have for us? And so Lord, You did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made yourself nothing. Would you help us to realize the power of that statement and to embrace the love that you have for us, because it is better than we could ever imagine or hope for? Would you move in our hearts and then give us the guts to actually respond the way you want us to respond? And I ask this in your name. Amen.